It's Wednesday, 4 o'clock. Welcome to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie Woodring. Dwayne Rainey's here too today in sunny Florence, Massachusetts. Today's show is going to be about goats and gospel, both of which I encountered a lot in my trip home to Kentucky last month. The goats, that would be my brother Chris's goat herd. And the gospel comes from Mount Moriah Missionary Baptist Church in Middlesboro, Kentucky. We'll start with the goats. So at my brother's house, when I was watching the mama goats and kids in the pasture, the five does had udders plump full of milk. But when the eight hungry kids would try to nurse, the mothers would move away and not let them. But why? I asked my brother, Chris Woodring, all about it, under the pretense of asking him, how do you make cheese? Here she comes. She jumps in and puts her head through the stanchion, waiting for the food. Straining her neck until Chris puts it in front of her. Yum! Making cheese with my brother Chris Woodring. We'll start with milking the goats. Going into the barn.
No, it's just not workable. It won't be a sustainable solution. So what's the way forward? We stopped in a restaurant called Azure. It has red check tablecloths and soccer on giant screen TVs.
So, you want to do this in the rain?
How many goats are you milking?
So I'm milking five goats while I'm feeding eight kids.
Goat jumps up on the milking stand. They know their turn?
Yeah, they know their turn, and they're well paid for their labors. I give them a generous amount of feed, which they really enjoy, as well as these young ones who haven't worked yet, but I hope that they get big enough to work next year.
How old are they before they breed or milk?
They'll be 7 months old when they breed, and they'll be 1 year old when they first start going to milk.
How much milk does a good milker give?
A good milker should give about a gallon a day. That takes two milkings a day. If you only milk once a day, then their production will begin to drop relatively quickly, and they won't be able to give as much because their udder just can't store that much milk.
What are the kids drinking or eating? Where are the kids getting the nourishment if we're getting the milk and the cheese?
Well, right now I get the milk, and then I give the kids about half, and then in about 2 or 3 weeks they won't need it anymore, and they'll be weaned off. So I'll get all the milk after that.
And they'll just be grazing and eating food.
Yeah, so they're eating really well right now. They're eating hay, and the grass will be up in another week, so they'll be able to graze, so they won't actually need the milk. They'd love it, and they would grow faster, they'd grow bigger if they had as much milk as they wanted, just like us, in fact. But they'll be fine on grass and food.
Grass, food, and tin cans?
Well, they don't eat tin cans. They sometimes will enjoy the label, like the taste of the glue sometimes on the old cans.
How long will it take you to get to the 2 liters?
It takes about 6 minutes per goat, about three minutes a liter. It depends on the goat. Some goats are more difficult to milk than others, just with the way their udder is made.
So after the does give birth, if you want to get milk from the doe, how does that work with the kids?
There are all different kinds of processes for separating the mothers from their young. What we often do here is we actually try to catch the kid on its way out. And then we'll immediately take it into our house and adopt it. And then we'll milk the mother right away as well, and then bring her milk to the kid. That's the typical process. And goats are good mothers, so they do miss their kids. And so they do go through usually a process of mourning for a day or two, as they wonder where their baby went to. The alternative is to leave the kid with the mother and then try to separate them later. And if you have two completely separated fields with very good fences, you can do that effectively when you want to later on. But it becomes costly, and the kid will go back to the mother and take all the milk. And take all the milk as much as 6 months later, if they know each other, if they recognize each other. It's a tough challenge at times, because you do recognize the maternal instinct, and it doesn't stress the kid, but it does stress the mother to be separated, especially during the first 4 months. anytime during the first 4 months, if you take the kid away from the mother, yeah, they'll be, she'll be significantly stressed.
I noticed that some of the mothers weren't allowing kids to nurse just because they'd been separated. They're like, one of these kids.
Yeah, that's right. They were separated at birth, so the mothers don't know which kid is theirs. All they know is they lost their kid, and they have these strangers coming and trying to steal their milk from them. So they won't allow a kid that they don't believe is theirs to nurse them.
Chris, can you tell me how you make goat cheese? Okay, let's say you milk the goats, and you bring the milk pails in, and you set them on the counter in the morning. And then what happens?
Well, then I look for my filter. I got a brand new filter, and I filter my milk. It's a key point that your filter not be used or not be reused. So I filter the milk to get out all the kinds of flotsam and jetsam that sometimes falls into the milk container when you're milking, but especially if you goat hairs. And then, depending on my process, I'll usually inoculate it. And in my case, inoculation is just yogurt. And then I leave it. I leave it for 12 hours. That's right.
So at room temperature.
I leave it at room temperature. Usually it's 12 hours because that'll be the next time I milk. So then I bring the temperature of that milk up to 86 degrees.
And then what?
And then I put the rennet in it, and that's what causes the milk to set. Uh-huh. It starts to separate just a few minutes later, but it doesn't set a hard curd for about 45 minutes to an hour. So I usually just set my timer for an hour, or I go milking and come back an hour later and it's ready to work with.
Uh-huh. What is rennet?
Animal rennet is actually a bacteria that comes out of the small intestine of a calf, mm-hmm. of a young cow, which is still drinking the milk from its mother. So it's a bacteria which the animal uses to break down the milk. So once it sets, then I cut that set milk. I cut it cross-hatch it so that the whey can run out the pores of the curd. And then I bring up the temperature again from 86 degrees up to 96 degrees. You don't have to do it to exactly any of those particular degrees. You don't even have to raise it from 86. But by raising the temperature, then you can control somewhat how hard your cheese will be. I use 96 because it's a number that I can remember.
Okay, so then after you've brought it back up to 96.
Then I take it off the heat and let it sit for about 10 minutes. Then I take it and I pour the whey off the curd. And then I will take the whey out to my animals, because basically all my animals love whey. Chickens love whey, ducks love whey, my horse loves the whey, goats love whey, dogs love whey, cats even like whey, so yeah, I have a lot of takers on whey. Milk is so much nicer to drink than whey that I can't think of a reason why I would drink whey if I had milk to drink.
I mean, part of the reason you're making cheese is because you have so much milk, right?
Yeah, that's right. The reason I make cheese is because I can get a large part of the nutritional value from the milk and make it into a form that will last a long time, that doesn't go bad, and it's quite yummy.
Yeah.
I have a crawl space underneath the house where it stays fairly cool, and I just have a cheese refrigerator there that I use exclusively for my cheese. In other places they use caves, but I don't have a cave nearby. So I put the salt in there, chopped it up nicely. Now I'm putting it into my cheese press. Each cow makes about a pound of cheese. Tomorrow, when I'm ready to make another cheese, 12 hours later, I'll pop her out of the press. If I'm going to age it, I'll coat the outside with salt and wrap it in a paper towel. I call it a diaper. And I just let it sweat for a while. And usually it takes 3 days to 7 days. So I'll change the diaper every day or every other day. And then when it stopped weeping, then I'll coat it in wax and put it in my cheese refrigerator. Forget about it for a year or so.
So, Chris, when it comes to raising dairy goats, the does, the females, are the ones that give the milk. So a herd of dairy goats is mostly females. Can you talk a little bit about the male-female balance and how that's maintained or dealt with?
Well, on a dairy goat farm, the ladies, in order for them to produce milk, they have to produce offspring. And so they produce the milk for their offspring, and that's part of their natural cycle. They usually will cycle once a year. So they'll have offspring once a year, and usually they'll have two. Sometimes they'll have three or one, but they average about two offspring per year, and then that then recycles their milking production cycle. Offspring comes half-half, 50% male, 50% female. And if you're lucky, you'll get more females. Then you have less males to deal with. And if you're unlucky, you get more males than females. But if you averaged over your years, you'll end up 50-50. Males don't produce milk. And so on a dairy goat operation, they are often a problem, because then you have to figure out what to do with all these unneeded, unwanted, unprofitable little critters, which are just as cute as the females, but they become less cute as they get older and then start into their productive cycle. Males typically will, about 6 or 8 months old, they will want to breed. But you only need one male to take care of about 20 or 30 females. So 50-50 doesn't work very well. Also, in a dairy goat operation, you usually have a finite amount of resources as far as barn space, fodder, food, and just how much time you have to milk and what your market is for milk. So usually you'll get the balance of females that are productive for you for the amount of milk you can use, and then every new animal on your farm then becomes excess, which you have to look for an outlet for.
So what do you do with the male kids?
So what I do with, both males and females is I try to find a market for them. Males, I will usually castrate them when they're just a few days old or a week old. I use a rubber band castration method, which means I just put a rubber band around their balls, around their gonads. And so usually within about 2 weeks, then it dries up and falls off. And if they get older, that becomes a much more traumatic experience for them. As well as for the owner. So I find that to be the most humane method.
So then the wethers, as they get older, what are some of the options for them?
They have a number of different options. I will usually offer them up on the local market as pet companion animals, or as I'll call them as weed control machines. And so some will be moved off the farm like that, and then others will be bought for food. And then eventually I'll use them as well as food.
So you'll butcher them. Do you butcher them yourself?
Yeah, I'll butcher them. Well, I say that I will butcher them myself. The actual reality is after having goats for, I think, 6 or 7 years, I've always found some other outlet for these animals rather than butchering them myself. But that would always be an option as well.
If you don't decide to castrate them right after they're born, how does it affect their personality as they become full grown?
The goats, when they get to breeding season, the hormones hit them really hard. And so they will go, it looks like they're going crazy, but they go berserk. It really, really changes their personality. They go on hyperdrive to breed. It doesn't really make them aggressive to humans. It's not that they become dangerous animals, but they're no longer your meek and mild kid, which you raise up by hand, but they're completely driven to breed and compete with other males. So on a small farm, if you've got 10 of these, they will spend the entire time trying to establish who's the dominant male, which can be a bloody, messy, and ugly affair. It just, it wastes a lot of time and energy, and you don't need more than one male. And you don't even need one dominant male for breeding purposes. You just need one male. Functional. Yeah. So having a bunch of young males trying to establish order does doesn't bring peace and tranquility to your farm. they also put out scent, and as part of dogs will mark their territory. And the good thing about dogs is when dogs mark territory, they mark something that's not themselves. So they'll mark posts, your car wheel. Goats mark themselves, so they use their beard as a scent attractant, and then they scent their beard with their own urine, and that can if you have only one male doing that, it can become more or less manageable, or you can get used to it. But when you got 10 males doing that at the same time as they're trying to physically create dominance, it's not nice.
So if the male goats are headed for the meat market and they haven't been castrated and their hormones are kicking out, will that affect the meat?
It'll certainly affect the flavor of the meat. And so there will be a whole period when they're in high heat, when most people, I personally would not enjoy their meat or their flavor. And then you would have to wait until they're in a dormant season, as you would say, in plants, when then they would have less scent, and then their meat would be more enjoyable.
Anything else with that?
It's part of the cycle of life. And it happens in the natural order as well, out in nature. You have you have a balance between males and females. But, for example, you look at deer typically, one male can take care of 12 or 15 females. And so there's a process out there where males become, they establish who's the healthiest, who has the best genetics, and who's the most dominant. But in nature, then you have wolves and other things that would help diminish the excess males as well as the excess females. So in a human managed system, you have to look for ways of doing the same thing, where you have to manage the excess livestock.
That was my brother Chris Woodring talking about goats. This is Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP. Northampton, 103.3 FM, and streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. You can hear archives of Out There at weatherbeard.com/Ruthie, R-U-T-H-Y. We're going to take a little break. Oh, wait, first I want to play this. Those are some horse frogs. Some horse, like... It was their first, those are from Kentucky. It was their first day waking up after the winter. Pretty soon we'll hear the spring peepers here. All right, we're taking a little break. We'll be
back. Why are they horse frogs?
They were actually in the horse pond up in the pasture, I have to say. But, you can tell how their voices are a little.
Our horse?
Their voices are a little croaky. We'll be back with this.
With more.
We'll be back with some other things and. For the most of the other half hour of this show, I'm going to play church service.
Amen.
This is the Wiz Quiz coming to you live from Valley Free Radio 103.3 FM. Tune in each and every Thursday from 6 to 9 a.m. for the quiz show. Music, news, online dating, interviews, and self-deprecation. You'll be glad you did.
Everybody knows that place you go when you're stuck on your own with nowhere to go. It's the quiz show.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow. It's your tree that clears the air. Plant a tree, trees for America. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. Taste the breezes, life inside you. Make a promise to the earth. Plant a tree, now is the time to recognize a tree for all that it is worth.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow.
It's your tree that clears the air. Plant a tree, trees for America. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. Make a place for birds to sing. Plant a forest for the future, where the breath of life begins with every spring. Plant a tree for your tomorrow. It's your tree that clears the air. Plant a tree, trees for America. Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
Plant conservation trees for your family and future. For your free booklet, Write Conservation Trees, the National Arbor Day Foundation, Nebraska City, Nebraska.
Thanks for that message, John Denver. What I'm going to play for the next...
Wow, John Denver?
Yeah, that was John Denver.
From beyond.
What I'm going to play for the next half hour is excerpts from a church service I went to when I was in Kentucky last month. I'm playing it because, well, I like it. For me, it was inspiring, the sense of community and the power of faith, because I grew up Christian in the Bible Belt. And the among non-Christians, Christianity is often criticized for being exclusive or closed-minded, but it isn't necessarily. I mean, I think we all struggle with closed-mindedness in certain ways. But for me, when I was growing up, believing in God and having a faith community, it inspired me and challenged me to be a better person. Really, I felt like an inspired child growing up. I mean, I believed, above all, in the power of goodness. Anyway, I'm going to play about 30 minutes of clips from Mount Moriah Missionary Baptist Church in Middlesboro, Kentucky. And this is from a special service they had last month called Super Sunday, and it was in partnership with the local community college in Middlesboro to encourage young people of color to go to college.
Education is limited to 18-year-olds. Don't walk around and say, I'm 50 or 60, I can't do it. You can do it. You can do it. But you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to have an idea. You got to conceive. You got to believe. Then you can achieve.
Been listening to a church service that I went to last month in Middlesboro, Kentucky. The next 23 minutes is the sermon. It's about following your dreams and supporting others' dreams by Reverend Samuel Wansley. I didn't get the first part of the sermon, but let me give you a little background. Do you know the Bible story about Joseph and his dreams? Genesis 37. So Israel, Joseph's dad, favored Joseph, and Joseph's 11 brothers didn't like that. His dad even made him that coat of many colors. Anyway, when Joseph was 17 years old, he had a dream, and he told his brothers about it. He said, "We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, and suddenly my sheaf stood up, and all your all's sheaves bowed down to me." His brother said, "Really? You think you'll rule over us, do you?" Then he had another dream, and in this one he told his brothers, "The sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." He also told his dad this dream, and his dad said, "Oh, really? Even your mother and I are going to bow down to you." So this was a scripture reading for the sermon that follows. And where this clip begins, the preacher was talking about how many young people, and this is particularly true in southeastern Kentucky where I grew up, but often young people are discouraged from having dreams that will take them away from home. And so here's Reverend Samuel Wansley, "Follow Your Dreams."
And I realized that it wasn't necessarily always because that they did not want those children to pursue their dreams, but the pursuit of the young people's dreams took something away from them. See? It took them away from home. Who's going to help me with the work around the farm? Who's going to help me to work around the house? Who am I going to talk to now? I'm going to be alone with that. You know, your children get to that certain age to where you can talk to them now. I can be your friend now. And they're talking about leaving. You just got to that age where I can enjoy you. So it's not necessarily that they don't want you to pursue your dream, but you're taking something away from them in the pursuit of your dream. So families are not always on board when you have a dream that you want to pursue. Hence, it comes about on days like this Super Sunday where others get together to help you and show you different avenues that you can pursue that dream. What's available to you? How you can go about accessing that financial aid since your family said, "You can't go because I don't have the money." Somebody's got some money.
Amen.
Somebody's got some money. And so it's up to us then to show these young people where their cash is, that they can access it in order to pursue their dreams. There are steps in the process of achieving your dream. And step number one is you got to set a goal. And a goal is simply a thought that you believe that you can attain. It won't be easy. There are going to be obstacles along the way. It's going to be a difficult struggle. But these young people, if you young people stay focused, And like Jesse Jackson says, keep your dream alive, then you can succeed. You can succeed. If you ever see, and I saw a poster once, and there was a turtle sitting on a fence post. Now, there's only one thing that I can determine by that turtle sitting on that fence post, and that is that somebody had to help him get up there. He didn't make it by himself. Right?
Amen.
Along the way, in order for these young people to succeed in their dreams, they're going to have some help along the way.
Amen.
You know, your fans are busting back, and it may not come from their family. See, Joseph had a dream one day that he would be in a high position, and his dream showed that even his family would bow down in front of him. And his father wondered about how his favorite son said this. My favorite son, but you talking about me and mother bowing down? His brothers hate him so bad that they want to kill him. So we can determine one thing about this story of Joseph, that in order to pursue his dream, he didn't have any help from the family. Daddy thought he lost his mind. Brothers want to get rid of him. Brothers want to get rid of him so bad they took him through him in the pit. Let's get rid of this dreamer. Get rid of this dream. And they end up selling this dreamer into slavery. What happens when these young minds that we are trying to focus on have these high hopes of accomplishing great things and the family is not there to support them? The family doesn't share the same enthusiasm that they do, and the family does not believe that they can even attain those dreams. What do? Do young people give up? They throw in the towel? They say the heck with it. Without my family behind me, I can't accomplish this dream. I can't achieve it anyway. Well, even though Joseph's father doubted him, And even though his brothers sold him into slavery, Joseph has some help. Joseph has some help. When Joseph got sold into slavery, in chapter 39, verse 3, look what happened when they sold him to the master. It says the master saw that Joseph, that the Lord was with Joseph. And that the Lord made everything that he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight of him and served him, and the overseer made him the overseer of all that he had. He put everything under Joseph's authority. Because he saw in Joseph that the Lord that he served was with Joseph. So when he saw that the Lord was with Joseph, he helped him. If you cannot look at these young people as children of God, if you cannot see that they are placed in your pathway for a reason, so that you can see the God in them and you offer them your help, something is wrong with you as a Christian brother. See, I saw nowhere in my Bible where it says suffer the black children to come under me. I saw nowhere in that Bible where it said suffer the white children to come unto me. But what I did see when he said suffer the children to come unto me. So it doesn't make any difference what color you are. All of them are our children. And if they have been placed in our realm of influence, then we owe it to the Lord to do something to help these young people achieve their dreams. Joseph had help. Joseph had help. Joseph had so much help that it said that he left in Joseph's care everything that he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything but the food that he ate. Now, this was a slave now. This was a slave. This dreamer. But Potiphar put him in charge of everything except the food in front of his face. You got to run to the house, Joseph. But when God starts to work with you, Satan always comes in and tries to stick something in the machinery. So Potiphar's wife saw that Joseph had to run in the house, and Joseph looked so good running around here. The Potiphar said, "Well, my husband gave you everything else. You might as well have me." And she offered herself to him on numerous occasions. And Joseph said, oh no, the master put me in charge of everything. You think I'm going to turn my back on him to sleep with you? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. She tried on numerous occasions, and this one occasion when she tried, and Joseph ran out and never made a mistake of leaving his coat behind. And he left his coat behind, and sure enough, the wife grabbed it up, and she mad because he refused to pay. Left his coat behind, and she showed to the other servant, look at the old Hebrew slave did, tried to get hold of me. And left his stuff. And she showed it to a hug. Look at the old Hebrew slave, the old man, you put a charge of everything. Look what he left behind when he tried to take me, your wife. He got so mad, he threw Joseph in jail. Joseph was falsely accused. In the pursuit of your dreams, sometimes a dream will be deferred. See, sometimes a dream, don't you get discouraged because you got off track for your dream, because there are times when your dream is going to be deferred and you better spend a little time locked up. And I don't necessarily mean locked up in jail like Joseph was, but there may be a time you have to spend some time away from the pursuit of your dream. And Joseph had to go to jail. But still, even in jail, Joseph had some help.
Yes, he did.
Joseph had some help. Because when he got to jail, the keeper of the jail, let me read for you. 21:13. It said, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. More help came from the Lord. More help. Wasn't his family now, wasn't his brother, wasn't his daddy, wasn't his mother. But more help, the keeper of the jail now was helping Joseph. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever they did, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look at anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. The keeper of the prison did not look
keeper of the prison, put the prisoner in charge of the prisons. Ain't that something? Didn't check on him, didn't care what he did, as long as you were doing it, you're fine. Because he saw that the Lord was with Joseph. And everything that Joseph did prospered. Everything that Joseph did prospered. Why Joseph? Now Joseph's in prison though now. While he's in prison, the king's cupbearer or the king's butler and the baker got through the prison with him.
Yeah.
And while they were there, they were under Joseph's charge, but Joseph in charge of all the prisoners, right? Yeah. They had a dream, and Joseph interpreted both of their dreams. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Baker, you're going to be dead in 3 days. I wouldn't want to know that. Joe, you could have kept that to yourself. Mr. Butler, you're going to be released in 3 days and going to regain your favor with the king. But when you get out, now look what happened. When you get out, this is the only time it's recorded that Joseph asks for help. He asks for help. He said, when you get out, remember me. Tell the king about me. And look, he'll look upon me with favor and release me as well. Isn't this something that folks, you ask for help, the one we don't give to you? Sometimes you ask Joseph to help, they think they're selfish, right?
Yes.
Selfish.
Yes.
So the butler gets out, you got all about Joseph. Joseph stayed in prison another 2 years. Another 2 years he spent time in prison. And then the king had a dream. The king had a dream. And when the king had a dream, that's when the butler remembered about the young man who was in prison with him, who could interpret the dream. And the king sent for him, he asked him to interpret the dream. And sure enough, Joseph came. But in chapter 40, verse 16, I want you to see this. When Joseph was sent for and asked to interpret the dream, he told the king, he said, God will give you an answer. I'm just a message. God is going to tell you what the dream is all about. He's just going to tell you through me. Right? Now, if I interpret that as these young people having a dream, right? No help from their family. Matter of fact, family's probably trying to defer their dream. But I see this as a child of God. What kind of Christian would I be if I did not tell them, look, God has an answer for you?
Yes.
There's an answer for you. God wants you to achieve. He wants you to be the very best that you could possibly be. And because of Super Sunday, I'm going to show you what financial aid is. I'm going to show you what the counselors are. I'm going to show you people to guide you, the direction that you want to go. That way that you want to pursue, here it is. You want to go to the conference, here it is. You want to be a bricklayer, here it is. You want to be a welder, here it is. You want to be a teacher, here it is. You want to be a doctor, here it is. You want to be a doctor, here it is. I can show you how to change it because I can see that the Lord is with you, and I would not be me if I did not do what the Lord asked me to do. And that's what? Suffer the children to come unto me. Amen.
Amen.
He said, God will give you an answer. I'm just a messenger. And he did so well. Pharaoh said, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God. You've got young people who are in your realm of influence, who are children of God, who have the Spirit of God in them, and all they need is a little help from you. Sister Gina, I'm pretty sure you had some help along the way. I'm pretty sure that somebody helped you get on that pole. See, it may not have been a fact. I know I had help. My mother had 8th grade education. My father had a 9th grade education. So when I got past 10th grade, there was no help in the house. There was no help in the house. So, but I got help from other people.
Yes.
My music teacher fussed at me so much that, Lord, I got to go to school. That woman won't worry me to death. Absolutely. My Sunday school teacher stayed on us all the time. All the time. It's not just about Sunday school. It's about you being the best you can possibly be. You got to dream. You got to change. Up off of your game. So I had help along the way. That's all these young people need is help from somebody, because in a lot of cases they don't have it from family, just like Joseph didn't have it from his family.
After the Pharaoh dream had been interpreted by Joseph, 7 years of good years when you need to store up the crops, 7 years of bad years when it's going to be a famine, and then the Pharaoh recognized that the Spirit of God was in this man, he promoted Joseph. Now Joseph was still a slave now. Only thing they did was brought him out of jail and interpret the dream. But after he did that, the Pharaoh promoted him to second in command only to himself.
That's it.
Yes. See? Only to himself. So Joseph now, slave, prisoner, now he's in charge of Egypt. I'm in charge of Egypt. And the only person I answer to is the Pharaoh. Now I've determined one thing from this. There's a lesson here. See, when Joseph was a boy, he told his brothers what he was going to do. They threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. But as a man, having gone through something, he told the Pharaoh what God was going to do. And Pharaoh promoted the second in charge of Egypt. Yeah. See, sometimes we got to get self out of it and put God in. If we put God first, we don't want to tell him what kind of God is going to do. When God blesses us, I'm sure some of us who are my age, we understand that were it not for the goodness of the Lord, where would I be? If it was not for the favor of God,
amen, my Lord,
where would I be? I look at friends of mine in jail, strung out,
come on,
homeless.
Yes.
But we grew up together doing the same thing, except for the grace of God.
Yes.
That could have been.
Yes.
See, so we get to a point where we say, God is going to do it. It's not about me.
Yes.
Joseph understands his help came from the Lord every step of the way. Mm-hmm. God had put somebody in a position to help him. Mm-hmm. Everywhere that he went, somebody was in a position and they helped Joseph out because they understood that God was with him. Mm-hmm. See, Joseph was misunderstood by his father, hated by his brothers, lived in a strange country as a slave, thrown into prison because he was falsely accused of rape, and then forgotten by the very people who he had helped and then asked for help. I can just imagine that Joseph is just like some of our young people saying today, I have a dream, but nobody's here to help me.
Mm-hmm.
See, none of us have been thrown into a pit, but we've been down so the Lord's felt like we've been home.
Yes.
See, none of us have been enslaved, but we worked so hard that we felt like a Hebrew slave.
Yes.
None of us have been in prison, but we've been locked up in the chains of doubt.
Yes.
And our ability to succeed.
Yes.
I can just imagine that when all of these things were prohibiting Joseph from achieving his dream, he might have looked up one day while in prison and said, I am not worried about it because the Lord will make a way somehow.
Yeah.
Lord will make a way somehow when we cross our bow. He'll take away all your sorrows and have your burden now.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Slave one day in charge of the master's house the next day. Thrown into prison one day in charge of the prisoners the next day. In the king's prison one day, in charge of everything under the king's authority the next day. All because he had favor from God, and all because somebody decided they would help him.
Yeah.
23 years passed from the time that Joseph had the dream to the time that the dream was fulfilled. 23 years passed. So young people, don't worry about how long it's taking you to achieve your dream.
Yes.
If you stay on the battlefield and you trust in the Lord, your dream will come.
Yes.
I was 50 years old when I went back to school, got my master's degree. 30 days later, I was off of the job.
Amen.
30 days later, I was off of the job.
Come on.
Don't you worry about your dream being deferred. You trust in God.
Yes.
God's timetable is not our timetable. Verse 49 verse 42 and 9 says that it was only after his dream was realized that he remembered it. Yeah. 23 years passed and Joseph forgot all about his dream. I can imagine, I forget about my dream too. If I was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, thrown in prison, falsely accused every step of the way, but then achieved success anyway. And it wasn't until the dream was fulfilled when his brothers were in front of him and bowed down in front of him, not knowing who he was, that he remembered the dream. And the dream was realized, I remember the dream with me. There's going to come a time, Lisa, I doubt very seriously when you're 3 or 4 years old that you said, I'm going to be a lawyer one day. I never said I was going to be a pastor. And that was 23 years ago. No, y'all didn't know me back in the day. I never thought in the wildest imagination that I would be standing up on a pulpit preaching the word of God. I even asked God, he knew what he was doing when he put me. Lord, are you sure? I know me because I know you too. I know you too. See, and the plans I have for you, I will complete them. See, he said only after the dream was fulfilled, he realized and he remembered it. Philippians 1:6 said, he who begun a good work in you will complete it. Don't worry about that. God will complete it. He started. He's going to complete it. You know, don't worry if you're not talented enough. Don't worry about you not being able to speak well enough. Moses had the same complaint.
That's right.
Can't speak good enough, Lord. Why me, Lord? What are you going to say to me? Don't worry about that. I'll put the words in your mouth. I'll send somebody with you. I got some help. See, all your help coming from the Lord. Well, I'm just a nobody. Everybody's nobody. Just something to God makes you just somebody. Everybody's nobody until God makes you into somebody. See, you got to believe in yourself while others are doubting. You got to plan your future while others are planning. You need to study while others are sleeping. Decide while others are procrastinating. Work while others are wishing. Save while others are wasting. You need to listen when others are talking. You need to persist while others are quitting. And you will succeed when others are failing. Your dream is a gift from God. God is the dream giver.
Yes, he is.
Do you really believe that idea of you being successful came to you all on your own? The Bible says he knew you before you were in the womb. He got plans for you. Plans to prosper you. I knew what you were going to. I brought you here in order for you to be who you want to be. There would be no Moses without a Pharaoh. There'd be no Pharaoh without a Moses. That works hand in hand. God planned that. You were created to be who you are, and you are equipped uniquely with the skills and the abilities and the talents to succeed in whatever that dream is in your mind. Don't let anybody deter you from your dream. Don't let anybody persuade you that you cannot be all that you can be. Don't let anybody tell you that you can achieve what you believe. Young people, I've got a poster on my wall, and I got this back from the 60s. Oh, that told you how old I am. I got back from the 60s. And it says, but I got a couple of them, but this one says, if it's to be, it's up to me. Southeast can show you. They can point it out to you. They can tell you where to go find it. They can tell you every step of the way how you can do it. But unless you're willing to do it, it will never get done. Unless you're willing to step out on your faith and do what God has called you to do and fulfill your dream, it will never happen. If it's to be, it's up to you. Dream on, y'all. Be all that you can be. Make this world a better place.
thanks to Reverend Samuel Wansley from Mount Moriah Baptist Church in Middlesbrough, Kentucky, for that inspirational message. You've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, Northampton, 103.3 FM. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. We got a few minutes left. Dwayne, do you want to mention some things that are going on around town?
I certainly will. There's a forced displacement, refugees, and development global overview, policies and local answers to global issues on Friday, April 10th, from 5 to 6 p.m., David Brotherton, Chairman and Professor of Sociology, John Jay, College of Criminal Justice, at the Nilsen Library Browsing Room and Smith College, organized in collaboration with the Department of Anthropology. And also, we have Mass Slavery Apology, Black Lives and Black History with Gloria Delane Matlock and Adam Matlock, Saturday, April 11th, at 10 to 12 p.m. at the First Congregational Church in 43 Silver Street in Greenfield, Mass. For more information on that one, you can contact them at 413-625-2951.
Thanks, Dwayne. Dwayne, you had an idea about something you were going to do for a show for next week. Is that going to materialize, you think?
Yes. Yes, indeed. I've been seeing some very disturbing things on fracking and the water that they use and what these major companies are trying to take and do. They just want to dump it into some hole someplace. And I've seen a thing on my computer last night, a man in Nebraska, and people from Montana and Wyoming, these fracking companies, they want to get rid of this wastewater, and they want to put it in Nebraska, where it's mainly agricultural. And this man was at a city hearing, and they said that this water was drinkable. And so he poured a little regular water into the glass and said, okay, you drink that, and now... And he poured some of the excess water from fracking into the glasses, and it was all murky and yellow. And he says that, oh, you said that you would drink it. It's drinkable. He said to the people that were on a commission, these old guys, and they were just sitting there, and they didn't say a word. They were like, oh, I'm not drinking that. But the water's unusable. I think that these companies, if they're taking out the natural gas, and they're doing the fracking, that they should also be responsible for cleaning up the water. And I'm going to look more into that next week.
Thanks, Dwayne. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. And I think out there, at some point in the near future, we're going to be going to biweekly schedule. So, well, no, it'll play every Wednesday, but there'll be repeats on the off Wednesdays. I'm not sure when that's going to start, but sometime.
So the ones that you really like, you get to hear twice.
Yeah, I actually was thinking I would rename Out There to In Here because it takes me so much time inside staring at electronics equipment. That's just kind of an April Fool's thing. I think I'll stay out there. I'll stay out there in one form or another.
And it's also biking weather now, so the Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue every Saturday from 11 o'clock till 2 o'clock, free bike help. So bring your bikes in and let us help you tune them up.
Yep, if we just need tools or need little
help-to
or whatever. All right, well, we're going to close with the song. Thanks for listening. This is Mavis Staples.
Welcome to John Denver.
Hold on. began to shout. Doors popped open and all walked out. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Stand are the chains of hand in hand. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Got my hand on the freedom power. Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on.